The gospel text for today is found in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we sometimes might wonder what it is that makes it so good and want to look at it a little further. We know, most of us, if we've done any fishing, we know if we get into a boat and go out a little bit from land, we can talk in a normal voice, and the water will carry our voice as a sound, almost like a microphone carrying it over the water. And we don't have to shout or make any loud noises because it multiplies so rapidly. And we see here that the multitude was pressing around Jesus so tight that he had no place to move. And he probably was down at the water's edge himself. And so he sees one of these boats and he gets in it, and it happens to be Simon Peter's. And he asks him, "Would you mind pressing, going out a little bit so I can sit down and teach these people?" And Peter did that, or Simon Peter did that. And he sat there then beside Jesus, waiting for Jesus to get done speaking. And if we were to look back into our Old Testament, we would see that the angels were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah. They stopped to talk to Abraham on the way. And Abraham entreated God, and he says, "You know, Lord, if you find 50 people righteous, will you spare them?" And God says yes, and he keeps coming down until he gets to 10, and he can't even find 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah that was willing to stand up for Christ or for God himself in the Old Testament, because Christ hadn't come yet. But there was not even 10 believers. And we see Lot's daughters had been married to a couple people from the Sodom and Gomorrah area, and Lot entreated them and he begged them to come and live with him. And yet, because of the things going on in that day, which was sodomy and all these other things, you know, your gay rights and all of these things are going on even then. And these two guys refused to come and live with Lot, even though they were married to his daughters. And so the angel takes Lot and his wife and his two daughters out of the city and tells them to flee so that they could be punished, and to flee also from the things going on in the world, because they believed in God himself and they believed in the righteousness of God himself. And as they fled, you know, it says that Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And if you were to go to Israel today down by the Dead Sea and you would ask them, do you know which pillar of salt this is that was Lot's wife? And they would might point to one and say, we think it's that one, because there are several pillars there that's salt pillars built up from the Dead Sea because it's so salty. And it maybe would be like somewhat like Salt Lake City, only a little worse. And so we see that Lot fled with his daughters out of sin. We see this sin in the world today. And as was spoken here, we're going to see that sin will be called hate preaching. And I wasn't going to go into that, but I will, because this is already happening. It's already happening in Canada. In Pennsylvania, they got a law that if you preach a sermon and you make someone feel bad because you tell them they're going to go to hell unless they have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you went to the police, that minister could be arrested for preaching hate and making you feel bad. And that's coming across the country. It's already spreading throughout Europe and many other countries. And it's spreading like wildfire. We are maybe one of the last countries that are standing up yet for the Lord and for his work. And yet there are many spots in throughout the world that are standing up just as strong, if not stronger, than what the United States is. You know, in about 2 weeks ago in Egypt, there was 240 Christians killed because they would not deny Christ as their Lord and Savior. The police said, we will investigate. And their investigation, of course, may take 5 or 10 years. And the dictator of Syria, a couple weeks ago, he had told the Christians in Syria, if I fall from power, you will be killed. And he says, I would recommend that if you are a Christian today, you would flee Syria for your own life, because the Islamic revolution that's trying to take over will not tolerate Christianity and will not tolerate the Jews. Why is it that the people are so against those two? It's because God's word is truth in its fullness, and in its fullness it'll tell us of the and warn us of the things to come. Satan is working hard through the Islamic religion, and the Islamic religion tells us that under the Sharia law, that if you don't go along with them, you are an infidel and you are worthy of death. If you agree to let them do anything they want and you will back them, they may let you live. But if you are Jewish, they won't. Because to them and to Muhammad, when he wrote that, he says all Jews must die so their Mahdi or their Messiah can come and rule the world. And we see this happening more and more today. We see the young people not coming to church as much as they used to. And we wonder why. And many of them will say there are hypocrites in the church, and you tell them it's better to be in a church full of hypocrites and have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior than it is to stay away from church, because Jesus has told us where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And there I am blessing them and helping them to understand my scripture. And you see, when Jesus was preaching to the people here out of the boat, he was using the boat for his pulpit. the Redeemer of the world, was preaching to these people, and they were hungry for the Word of God. And there are many people today that are hungry for the Word of God, but they don't want to be seen, as it were, as if they were hungry. And yet they know they are empty because the world cannot fill them of the worldly things, and they can never be happy because the Spirit of God can keep convicting them that they don't have happiness in its fullness unless they have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it would tell us then in 1 John 3:1-2, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. Remember this, it does not know us because it did not know him. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, the people did not know God, and they would not listen to Lot or to the angels that came to pull Lot out. And therefore, fire and brimstone came down from God and destroyed them. You know, we're the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because they did not know him. Believe, beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And you know, God may call us out one at a time, or he could rapture us all out at the same time. And it says when Christ returns and sets his foot on the earth on the Mount of Olives, that he will be bringing all his saints with him. And that means that if you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, and God calls you out of this world, you will return with Christ. You are one of his saints because you have him as your personal Lord and Savior. It tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air, and we will be forever with the Lord. And then we would see John 14 fulfilled, where he says, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, Jesus taught the people, and they were hungry for the Word of God. And he taught them in such a way that many of them realized he was the Lord and Savior sent from God to redeem the world and to reconcile us back to Christ, or to God, through the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. And as Jesus turned this boat into a pulpit, he also made them realize he's the Redeemer of the world. And as he got done, finished, he told Peter, he says, go out into the deep and you will catch some fish. And that's a payment for me using your boat. And Peter, of course, he says, you know, as fishermen, we know catching fish at night is the best time. And we've toiled all night and nothing has happened. And you know, we look back and we see that this same thing happened that when Jesus rose from the dead. Peter didn't know what to do and he says, I'm going fishing. And the disciples, many of them said, we'll go with you. And they went and they toiled all night. And the next day they seen Jesus on land. And Jesus says, have you got any food? Have you got any fish? And they said, no, we toiled all night. We have nothing. And Jesus says, come. I have prepared a breakfast for you here on shore. And they came and they seen the coals of fire and the bread and the fish already there being prepared for them. You see, Christ is in charge and he knows what we need. If we trust in him and if we make sure that we're living for him day by day. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4:2 that we are to preach the word in season, out of season. It's good for rebuke, for reproof, for studying, and to just to learn what God has to say to each one of us so that we can know that we can exalt him and him alone, and that we may have to suffer for this, But it is better to suffer for righteousness' sake than it is for anything else. And we can see that Christ says if we suffer for righteousness' sake, that we will be blessed. And he will see to it that he is with us. Because we are living in a sinful world and we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, does not guarantee us from not having problems. Because Satan is at this time trying to control the world and destroy everything that Christ made. And he wants to destroy all the believers in Christ also. And he sees that he is going to lose in the end. Yet he wants to do all the destruction he can because he's so angry at God and God did not let him exalt himself higher than him in the heavens in the first place. You see, when Peter went out and caught these fish, he caught so many his boat began to sink. And I'm not a great fisherman, but I do know this. If you caught 50 fish at 3 pounds apiece, you'd have about 150 or 60 pounds in your boat. But if you caught those same 50 fish and they weighed 30 pounds apiece, it's going to make a big lot of difference in your boat. And these boats weren't real small ones either, because remember, at one time, all 12 disciples plus Jesus was in the boat, and Jesus was in the back sleeping when a storm came up, and they woke him up, and he stilled the wind. And, you know, I believe here's where Peter fell down at his knees, and he says, "Depart from me, O Lord. I am a sinful man." He acknowledged his sin before Christ, and he asked Christ then to forgive him his sin. And are we doing that today? Do we fall before the Lord, and we say, "Lord Jesus, without you I can do nothing. It's you, Lord Jesus, that has all the glory and all the honor. It's you, Lord Jesus, that keeps me and gives me the peace that I need each day to get through the day I'm going through. It's you, Lord, that helps me through the troubles of the day." Or are we taking and saying, "Oh my goodness, all these problems are coming upon me. What should I do?" Turn to Christ and he will help you. Turn to Christ and he will keep you. We see Peter's statement, and I believe that his name was changed somewhere in here where Jesus calls him Peter later on, and that means rock, because he was so bold in speaking the gospel of Christ to the people that he came in contact with. And on Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit was given out, that he preached to them and he told the people, "You have crucified the Christ who came to save the world. But it was God's will to be fulfilled that he had to die on Calvary's cross, and his blood was shed and covered you and I from all our sin." And you know, so many times we hate to hear the word sin, and we know that we are sinful from nature. And you know, in Jude it tells us that we are to preach the word and be constant and bold, and that we may even draw and pull a few people out from the fires of hell. And it says, you know, even their garments that smell of the fire and of the stench of sin, we don't want to touch. But in Zechariah, God says, you know, "I will give you all new garments. I will dress you new. You will be like Christ. And your garments won't smell of the world or of the flesh or of sin anymore. It'll only be righteousness and holiness. And you will have peace, and there will be no more pain, no more sorrow. And you will be praising the Lord for all the things that he has done." You see, the catch of human beings out of hell and into heaven is tremendous for each one of us. And you know, it tells us that each one, every time a sinner confesses and accepts Jesus Christ, the angels of heaven rejoice. It tells us in the Psalms, it says, you know, in the sight of God, it's precious when one of his saints die and come into his glory. I buried a friend of ours last week, and she was a Christian woman, and it was not easy to have the sermon and to have it because we knew her for about 45 years. But it was easy in the fact that we knew that that final step she took her into glory to be with Christ. Will there be lonesomeness for the family? You bet. There will be heartache and there will be sorrow many times over. Yet, her husband told me, he says, you know, she didn't have the quality of life she had 2 years ago, and I can only say thank you, Lord, for taking her home while she was still knowing what was going on and she was walking with you and having you as her Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. And you know, it's not easy to see that, and it's not easy to do some of those things. You see, when we're told to go out and catch, not fish, but people, does our life then show that we are living for the Lord? Does our life show in such a way that people will say, I want what he's got? And I don't know if I've used it here, but I had a man that he did everything he could against me. I worked with him for a number of years, and he tried his best to get me fired from my job at different times because he figured he could do it better. And after he became disabled. Was that a punishment? It might have been, I don't know. But sometime later, he called my wife and he says, tell Irvin to come and see me. And I came home and Janice told me, she says, this guy wants you to come and see him. So I said, okay. So I waited a couple of days. I didn't go. And he called her again and he says, I want him to come over. So I says, okay, I better go over there. I went over there. He was sitting in his wheelchair in his garage. And beside him was a 5-gallon bucket of sand. And he says, I'm in a wheelchair. I'd go get you a chair. And I says, I'll sit on this bucket of sand. That's fine. And he says, you know, I've watched you for years. And you never got angry with me when I tried to get you fired and all these things. He says, I want what you got. I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And we prayed. He accepted the Lord, and he died about 6 months later. Oh, praise the Lord that he was taken out of this fire of hell and brought into the glory of God. You know, we don't know how our lives will reflect on people that see us. We don't know how it'll work. But God has said, I will take your old garments and your old life and I will discard it and it will be remembered no more and I will give you new garments. So you'll be like Christ. And we don't know how it'll be, but we know we will be changed and we'll become immortal. We will realize more fully than ever that it's by the grace of God alone that we're saved. It's by the faith we have in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross of Calvary, that we are saved. It's because Jesus came into the world and he was willing to die. You know, Peter, when he died, he was put on a cross and he was stuck in the ground upside down. James, one of the first disciples to die, was sawed in half. And many of the others were killed. And I think John was the only one that might have died a natural death. All the rest were killed for their belief. And they walked with the Lord. Yet they were not guaranteed an easy life because Satan was attacking them. And Satan will attack us in many different ways. And he will do all kinds of things against us. And he will try and play tricks on our mind and on our bodies and on our families. And yet we have to say, Lord, you give me the peace which passes all understanding. Help me, Lord, to keep my heart and my mind stayed on you. And help me, Lord, that whatever happens in my life will show your love to those around me, and that they will take and that they will give their hearts and lives to you. We see that over and over again. And you know, it tells us so much in Scripture, in these verses, that we aren't out there trying to catch fish, but we're out there to catch men and women and children for the love of God. And in 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, it tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, Paul says, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel's sake, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus even before time began. Here is a portion of Scripture that tells us that, you know, the plan of salvation was made and put in place before Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. It was there from eternity past. And we see then that if we were to look into Romans, as Paul tells us in Romans, that if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus has been died and rose again from the dead, we will be saved. And all that call upon the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Are we willing to do that? You know, sometimes it's so easy to not say anything, but we're told to be instant, in season, out of season. We're told to be ready to give a reason of why we believe. Are we willing to do that? We have to search ourselves, and we have to pray, Lord, give me the strength to live for you this day, because without you, I can do nothing. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us, watch over us and keep us, help us to serve you in thought, word, and deed, for we know it's by your power and your grace that we have been saved from the fires of hell and given the eternal blessings of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us